हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Tattva Sutras, Chapter 1, Tattva Prakarana, The Truth, page 128. In the Bhagavad Gita 989, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, "The whole cosmic order is under me. By my will it is manifested again and again, and by my will it is annihilated at the end. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached, seated as though neutral." Right, so Krishna is in, he's involved, in other words, it's his will. It's being carried out by his shaktis, but it's his will that it goes on. So that's very important to note, that his will is infallible. He's a chuta. Our will, somehow or another, doesn't seem to quite have the same effectiveness.
Yes.
Like that. You know, We make our sincere effort, but the reality seems to be a lot different than what we have projected as the, you know, outcome.
The question is why?
Why, yes. We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Why shouldn't it work out? Like that, yeah. So it's his will. And so then you would want to know, well, why is it his will? If it's his will, he manifested again and again, it's annihilated. Yet why? He's not bound. He's detached. He gets nothing from it. So why would he do that? It means we wouldn't manifest this unless we were getting a benefit. If we're not getting a benefit, we wouldn't. So why is he manifesting it and not getting a benefit? Right? So that's what he does in the material world. So what is he asking of the devotees?
Same thing.
Same thing. Perform your duties without attachment.
Yes. And we are used to the opposite.
Yes. Because we're attached, we work. No attachment, no work. So that's why we see is that the point that someone is performing his work nicely, doing his duties, that's good. But his attachment part is the problem. That's why we call him fruit of workers. Yes. And for the jnani, that he's detached from material results and all that, then we consider, and he has knowledge based on scriptures, then we consider that good. But that he does no work, then that's a weakness. That's not very, that's not well established. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, that's why both the karmis and the jnanis can in some way relate to what we're talking about, but at the same time as they cannot understand what we're talking about, right? Because the karmis understand, oh, we're working, right? And a result is generated. That they understand, but that we're doing it without attachment, the result's not for us, that doesn't make sense to them. Right? They can be selfless, means that is practiced by being selfless, that they will perform their dharmic duty in a selfless way towards family, towards community and all that. But ultimately, they're working with their family, their community, not someone else's. Like that. So even if there's pranamoy, it's still a matter of, it's extended sense gratification, the extended identity, their own self-identity. So they can understand the work part, so if they'll work for Krishna, then they get engaged. The jnanis, you know, understand the detachment part, but then and that's good, and the knowledge, and by knowledge, then you can situate yourself nicely, but they need to work. So the karmis need, they're already working, they need to be detached. The jnanis are detached, they need to work. So when you work with detachment to please Krishna, that's then bhakti. So that's the whole, that's why even to work with detachment, that'll simply give you liberation. You'll get the facilities, you get liberation, but you don't get out of the material world until you add in Krishna's pleasure. So then we'd have to see here. So he's working without any, getting something for himself. So why would he do that? Because ultimately, the point is that the living entities are supposed to be in the spiritual world. And so then he's creating an environment in which they can try to fulfill their desires separate from Krishna, because that's what they want. Because if the idea of expanding the affection by the jivas is that they have this free will, you know, to choose either Maya or Krishna, then the point comes up is they have to, with their free will, choose Krishna. Right? So therefore, since they're using their free will not connected to Krishna, then they come to the material world. And there, then everything works on justice, because you're not dealing with Krishna as a person. You know, you're dealing with him as Paramatma or as Brahman. And so as you deal, he'll reciprocate. You deal properly in a field, he'll reciprocate with good results in that field. You deal badly in a field, you'll get bad results in a field. It's natural. You know, we're people. We expect that. I do good work, I get good results. I do bad work, I get bad results. Or no, let's put it this way. I do good work, I get good results. Others do bad work, they get bad results. You know, they do good work, why they should get, I'll get it. And if I do bad, why I should get it, because, you know, it's just one of those days. But at least the basic concept is understood. So that's then what the living entity is trying to accomplish here, is that he wants to engage himself and be happy, because he's Satchitananda. But there isn't real knowledge, it's not eternal, and the happiness gained is very minimal. Mm-hmm. So at some point then they try to turn their self towards spiritual, then they go for the Brahman aspect, but that doesn't give them satisfaction either. So then, by coming in contact with the devotees, with the Vaishnavas, then they're able to appreciate that position.
But Maharaj, if we don't purify in a subtle way, like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, means we stay in the material
world. We stay. But the point is, if you're doing devotional service, it's just a matter of time before you're out. But the opportunity is given in one lifetime, you can get out. But it's up to you. If you're free, you want to get out in one lifetime, or you want to take a few. It's not a problem. Material energy, one more jiva is not going to, you know, be a burden, you know, like that. She's not coming to Krishna, oh, there's too many jivas, I can't handle it anymore.
Can you take some?
Yeah, like that. You know. No, as he's unlimited, you know, as Shaktiman, then as Shakti, she's unlimited.
The idea is just to adjust our will to the will of Krishna.
Yes, that's the whole point to get to, is that if this is will, why he's doing this? So then what is his, you know, so, and he's getting nothing, so what is actually his will? His actual will is that we'll interact with him based on devotion, by love. And then he will reciprocate that based on love. You know, as you deal, he'll reciprocate. So that's the actual point, purpose of the material world, nothing else. So that's why it says, if you do anything in this material world, good or bad, but it's not connected to Krishna, it's a waste of time. You know, dharma, artha, karma, or moksha, you know, you're doing for yourself, it's a waste of time. You do it connected to Krishna, then it has a benefit. You get purified, you move closer to Krishna. And when you're doing these things just to please Krishna, you know, according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then that's perfection.
This is the spiritual world.
Yes, that's the spiritual world. So that's what we have to be aware of, that we're trying to be involved accordingly. Otherwise, we will tend to not take it that far. Okay, yeah, he does all these things. But, you know, because the first point is, okay, he's the Ishwara, not us. Then it's that he's being the Ishwara, but he doesn't seem to be gaining anything from it, so why would he do it? Right? And so therefore, what's the ultimate purpose of the material world? Right? That makes sense. So then, naturally, that's why you see in any one of the points being made, whether they're emphasizing the Brahman aspect, Paramatma, or Bhagavan aspect, all the other aspects are there. Like that. Because it's just natural. These things just happen. But the Bhagavan, he can perform his pastimes and this and that, and you don't need to bring up the Brahman or Paramatma aspects. But once you're outside of that Bhagavan aspect, then but they all infer the person. Like that. Otherwise, why would Brahman spread everywhere? Why would it, I mean, what's the purpose? You know, it's just nothing, so it's just like that, just existing, you know, so then, okay. If it's just existence, you're already existing, so then, you know, how you say, voila, it's already done. So why are you feeling bad? Why, no, I have to change of it. No, but it's just situation. You exist. Yes. You're the soul, you exist. Maybe you have a body, but you as the soul exist. So then that becomes the point. Is that where's the chit, where's the ananda? Because they say you have to study Vedanta. That's chit. But you're talking about sat, and you're saying you're going to get ananda.
Yes, yes.
So your existence is not real. This knowledge doesn't matter. But the ananda that actually is there. But if it's just a nothingness, it'll just be a nothingness. So yeah. So. The jivas still work on the principle of being Satchitananda. It just becomes distorted and polluted. And Krishna, he's Satchitananda, and everything does work according to his desire and plan.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. In the highest Shirsha Pancharatra, it is said, the Supreme Lord's transcendental bliss is said to be of two kinds. One, that of his form, and two, that of his formless aspect. The form of the Lord is the shelter of his formless aspect. Therefore, it is the bliss of the Lord's aspect with form that is really eternal and imperishable. But because if we're saying Brahman is eternal and imperishable, how is it eternal and imperishable? Because it's resting on the body. The Sarup is the source. So if I say electricity is eternal, but it's on its own. It doesn't. It's because it's based on the generator.
Yes, yes.
Right, because the generator is there. Therefore, there's. So if the generator is eternal, therefore, yes, the energy will be eternal. So in this way, then, Brahman is situated on Bhagavan. So therefore, it is unlimited. It is, you know, imperishable. It is eternal. It is all, you know, all this, that. All, that's because that's all coming from him. You know, it's just like, let's say someone has on some, you know, has bathed and dressed very nicely, right? And, you know, the fragrances. So then, you know, from across the room, you can appreciate the fragrance and all that. But it's based on the person. It's not the fragrance produced the people, right? That would be a real problem, right? You know, you get in the new shipment of some perfume and all that. You put them out on the shelves and you come back, you know, after an hour and there's all these people sitting there. You know, may we help you? It says, this bottle. It says, you know, like that. So it doesn't work that way. It's against logic. But the idea is that, oh, we're so intelligent. So, and they expect everything to work by logic. It has to be by the grammar, by the Vedanta Sutra, everything logical, except this point of what's spiritual. So now if they say spiritual is opposite, then why is their process opposite of what you're trying to get? Like if I'm trying to build something, destroy it. You know, it's like saying, okay, we'll take all this stuff, you know, let's say we're trying to make some nice, you know, thing, and then we'll come in with, you know, fire and, you know, this and that and burn it all up to ashes. And then when we finish, then we'll have this fabulous, one-of-a-kind, you know, Gucci formal outfit that someone's going to wear to the Academy Awards. Right? Isn't that how it works? You know, wow, how did you do it? You know, it's just, you know, it's all in the, you know, getting the temperature just right and how much fuel and that and how quickly it burns, you know, like that. You know. you know, you want a shorter dress, it's, you know, a little quick, you know, long, a little longer, you know, fine like this. But actually, since it's the opposite, it'd be the faster the fire, the bigger and better the dress. And the slower the fire, then, you know, it comes out okay. You know, so somehow or another, in everything, it has to be logical and as it is, like this. But then when it comes to their actual understanding, it's the opposite. And so then they say, all this, what we're doing, it's all illusion. So then why are you doing it? Because this will get us Brahman. But how it'll get you Brahman? It's illusion. How by illusion you get Brahman? If by illusion you get Brahman, then all these people are an illusion, then they'll also get Brahman, since it's illusion that's producing Brahman. So it just doesn't make any sense when you deal with the substance of their philosophy. You know, they use all the logic and all their word juggling, and so it all sounds very good. But in reality, no.
But we accept it.
Yeah, because we want to be cheated.
Yes.
Right? Because we want to be God. That's why we came here. We want to be God. So if there's somebody telling you can be God, why aren't we going to take it? You know? Makes no sense, but still, that's what we want. You know, we're infinitesimal, we want to be God. So already that's an impossibility. So what's another impossibility?
But that's the other option.
Yeah, another option.
Maharaj, this is a service of Maya to help us to go into more illusion and illusion. It is her service.
Because that's what we want, so she facilitates. But at the same time, since it is illusion, you get what you pay for. Right? And so how will that give bliss to the soul? The soul is not the body. So we do all these things for the body. How will that give bliss to the soul? Right? Happiness is just, I have a desire, fulfilling that desire, that moment I call happiness.
Yes.
It's not that it's sustained afterwards. Yes. People live in this big mansion. They don't even notice it. It's just that they could, you know, it's just ordinary. But, you know, the first day that they, you know, came and saw it and, you know, we're taken around by the real estate people. Oh, wow, this is that, and this could go here and that. And then when they buy it, oh, yeah, fabulous, now we have it. Then they come in and they decorate it and outfit it and come out, oh, it's fabulous. Then a few friends come over and go, you know, and they go, well, this is nice. Oh, isn't it fabulous? And then after that, it's just ordinary for the rest of their life. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that happiness they're taking is coming from themselves, or their surroundings. But the point is that's only the existence principle. So when I accumulate more existence, then I'll be happy, and I'll be more secure, right? So the existence, by expanding volume of existence, then I have more. I'm more safe.
Yes, yes.
Like that. If I'm a small house, I'm not as safe as if I'm in a big house.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty, is that we're doing everything as a living entity, but we don't notice. We don't know why we do what we do. Why we accept that these things are good or not. But the point is it's only when we, being minor, are in connection with the Absolute, who's eternal, then we get that. But we make the mistake that I'm that, you know? And so then by making that mistake, then the difficulty comes up, is then they think they're already that. So then whatever they do will give that result. You know, they understand, you know, the unlimited, unchanging. Right, they can experience that. They have knowledge of that, and they have consciousness, the living entity. But then the difficulty comes up, as they think that because I'm conscious of it, and that because I have this, it's me. But if they understand, no, it's not me. That's then where the actual self-realization begins, real self-realization, because if this happiness of Brahman, it's not coming from me, and this knowledge of Brahman is not coming from me, and my consciousness is not coming from me. It means I'm conscious, but to expand through a consciousness of Brahman in that, that's not coming from me. I'm conscious, but I don't have unlimited consciousness. So, therefore, where is this unlimited aspect coming from? Because I'm one ten-thousandth tip of the hair. I'm limited. but this my awareness of this eternal principle is not limited, and the experience is not limited. So where does it come from? That comes from the Supreme Lord, right? Like that. Because otherwise, why I as a person care about something that's impersonal, right? If you deal with them in an impersonal way, you know, it's not appreciated. They want to be dealt with personal. They want to be happy personally. You know, if we're all one, okay, let's just have, we're all one, okay? So then we'll sit down, you know, at the cafe there on the sidewalk, right? And we'll do this. You know, because we have the two people sitting there. You'll sit on the street side facing the building. I'll sit on the building side facing the street, right? Plus, besides that, you'll be sitting there with nothing, and I'll have my hot drink and my, what do you call it, croissant? Yes. But because we're one, then I'm enjoying, you're enjoying. It's no problem. And not only that, to increase the enjoyment, you're going to pay. You know? Since it's all about enjoyment. You know? Like that. And then it's up. But there's this, they don't think about these things. There's no practice. Devotees used to do that, you know. Guys, no, you know, get into it because he sees the devotees and all this and that. It's all one, and we're all one, and this and that. Says it's all one. Let me see your wallet.
Yes.
You know, so it's all one. Then this is. Then you go. So this wallet, it's yours, but it's also mine. We're all one, and they at that point they understand. Okay, there's a problem here, but they're false ego. Then they have to, no, it's all one. So then they all, so this money is also my money, you know, and things like that. And so then they're kind of like, yeah. So they hand them back the wallet, keep the money, and then hand them a whole stack of books, you know. You take $20 and hand them, you know, 5 books, you know, okay. So now it's all one. Yeah, so. Always some fun with Mayavadis.
I think even in this topics, you know, one devotee was saying to one person who was married, "This is your wife. This is also my wife."
That's good. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
And he's going. Yeah. He's going. I don't know about this. And she's going. Nice, interesting concept. And then he's thinking that, and he notices her, and she's smiling. And wow. Yeah.
So now it seems that the main point is our desire.
Desire. That's the whole thing.
We just need to work on our desire, actually.
That's all we're changing. We're simply changing our desire from I'm the enjoyer to Krishna's the enjoyer.
Yes.
I do my work, but now it's for Krishna. So that's why nothing changes.
Yes.
But and it means the principles won't change. I'm still going to, you know, be sleeping. I'm still going to be eating.
Yes.
I'm still going to be dressing. I'm still going to be maintaining myself. But now it's all being done in context of Krishna. So then, so then whatever I have, I offer to Krishna. So what things does Krishna like to eat?
Yes.
Right? You know, so that's devotion. Well, you know, how, since this body is Krishna, how does it, should it be engaged?
Yes.
You know, I'm dressing. How would Krishna want me to dress? How would he want me to deal with that? Because everything's Krishna. How would he want me to deal with other people? Krishna is also in everyone's heart. He's also these other living entities, their conditioned nature. How would Krishna want me as a devotee to deal with them? Because that nature is coming from the universal form, so it's also, you know, has to be seen in that context. So therefore, what etiquette would you use? What morality? What standards would be used? So, yes, nothing changes. You know, because otherwise people think, oh, now we do nothing. We just stand on our head fast and don't eat and don't breathe, you know? But the point is, no, it doesn't change. You're as an individual, you're a person, it remains as that, such. But now, you start with that principle, but then with time as you mature, you'll see, oh, it means I should adjust this for Krishna. Right? And so that's bhakti, is it's progressing towards Krishna. Right? It means, in other words, you're facing Krishna, you're going towards Krishna. While those who are pious have their back to Krishna, though they go a little bit towards Krishna because they follow his rules, but they're not interested in Krishna. So once they catch whatever goal they want, they stop there. Right? At the same time, as you wouldn't want to try to justify everything that you're doing is centered around yourself. Otherwise, you're facing Krishna, but you might be walking backwards.
Yes.
You know, because, oh no, it's about, you know, this, oh, we're Westerners, oh, we're from here, or, you know, I'm a married person, or all these things, is that Krishna already is acknowledging those things. It's already there. It's written into the scriptures. It's Krishna gives the example. He was a grihastha. How he took care, how he did his duties, you know, all these different things. So these things are there. You have to be very careful that we're not trying to keep Krishna out of it and put our desire, our ichha there in front. And so it may sound devotional,
yes,
but, you know, so does most of the kind of Hindu-Bindu stuff.
Yes, yes.
That's how you get smartas. That's how you get, you know, all these, you know, so-called scholars, you know, armchair speculators. That's how you get upasampradayas.
Yes,
that's
yes.
Because they're all following, but in their own way, for their own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, they don't attain Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difficulty, is that's why we have to see it's his desire. That's what we're fulfilling. So therefore, Krishna, he likes vegetarian. That's why we're vegetarian. You know, we don't not eat vegetarian because we like it. Because if we're, say, we're Westerners, then how would they ever follow a vegetarian diet? Only if it's popular in the West, that vegetarian is popular, then we'll be vegetarians. Like that. But then at the same time, it's like now you have it's vegan, so you're not vegetarian. But Krishna's not a vegan, he's a vegetarian. Like he means his favorite thing is dairy products. So that means, yes, grains, fruits, vegetables, you know, sweetener, these are all connected with dairy. That's what makes them nice. Right? So, you know, it's not you just put, you know, sugar and farina. You know, or suji, you put ghee. You know, you don't just put the vegetables and salt. You put some ghee, like that. Nowadays, they'll put some oil, but it doesn't have the same effect. You know, they look at it all just health is the same effect, but what about the oil creates lust and these kind of things? It may have certain things because it's oily. It has some benefits, like that, but it also creates lust, while ghee doesn't. It refines the brain tissue. Oil doesn't. You know, like that. So those things aren't seen by the karmis. They don't know these things. And so then if we follow them, oh, now the Westerners are vegan, so now we'll be vegan. We're not vegetarians, we're vegan. But the point is where does Krishna come in any of this? So he's not vegan, he's not, non-vegetarian, he's vegetarian. So that's what Krishna wants. And we could say, oh, Krishna wouldn't want this, but then he's saying you're dealing badly with the cow, so he wouldn't want the milk. But they're dealing badly with the earth. Why would he want anything that they're taking? You know, all the mechanical things from the earth and all that, their paper, their this, their that. Has it all been done in very nice, we're using non-aggressive, non-disturbing, techniques of mining. Right? You know, we have this wonderful forest and this hill, and when we finish mining and that, we won't have a hole in the ground that's just barren with nothing. We will have this wonderful hill with trees and everything. Right? After we finish the mining, we'll bring in dirt from somewhere else, and that won't leave a hole somewhere else. Somehow or another, we have this mystic city we can do, and so it'll all be perfect. So therefore, we go on with great, satisfaction and happiness using all your modern technological, gadgets and gizmos and all that, because they're all, mined with, with the environment in mind. You know, in the industry that goes and smelts the metal and all that, it's not polluting. Nothing's polluting. Everything's so perfect. Why is it that we're only complaining about cows? Point is it's all Krishna's. So if you use it in Krishna's service, what's the problem? The cows are Krishna's. Using the milk in Krishna's service, why would he be upset? Because does the cow have a fault? No. Just like, let's say, the child goes to the school. Right? And at school, he's bullied. Right? So bullying's bad. So when he comes home, the mother will not talk to this child. I will not support bullying, so I'm not going to deal with this child. That's the level of intelligence we're dealing with here. That's it. Absolutely not even thinking about God and it's his creation, how it goes on. Why Krishna won't accept the cow's dairy products? You don't want to accept them because of your political position and leanings and attachments to so-called, welfare and philanthropic work. But in reality, why Krishna wouldn't accept them? His cows. You deal badly, does the cow get blamed? He won't touch, oh, you dealt well with that, I'm not talking to that cow. I'm not going to pet that cow. Like that. We're dealing with, it means they're getting their intelligence from karmis. And where did the karmis get it? Vegan comes from Buddhism. So just like Sahajiya comes from Buddhism, vegan comes from Buddhism. And somehow or another, now that makes it all right. So then why isn't Sahajiya all right? Oh, we don't need scriptures, we don't have to follow, it's just Bob, it's just whatever I feel like, and that's it, no rules, no regulations, I don't need to know the philosophy, I just have that sentiment. That's Sahajiya. And so you see, that's in a covered way, it's accepted. Oh, he feels like it, so why can't he do it? No, is he qualified for it? Is it according to what Shastra says? No, but he feels. Why do we have to be controlled by this scripture? That'll just be political sahajiyas. And then the other side is, oh, no, the cows are abused, this, that, we won't use any, we're not supporting this and all that, And so and things like that. But the point is, it's about offering to Krishna. It's not about you. It's not about you're the one, you're the good guy. See, I'm a good guy, I'm a vegan, I'm a do this. So that's the whole difficulty, is that we make ourselves the center instead of Krishna. So that's why then when we do adjust, we adjust on our own. But the principle remains. No, you adjust because this is how Krishna wants it. And so if you do care about cows, then support the Goshalas. Support Gosadans for the cows to retire so that the Goshalas make money. And stuff like that. Because Goshalas can make money. It's what do you do with the old cows. That's why when the cows are there, they're making money.
Yes.
Then, when they get old, they send them to the slaughterhouse. Because then they make money off of both. But if there's Gosadans, then they're just sent there. It costs nothing for the farmer. And it's being taken care of by charity. And you just see that when they're dealing with the cows during that milking time, that they're dealing a little more nicely. So then maybe there's a little less profit for them. So are you willing to pay more for that? They're only doing it because you won't pay more. Yes. You'll only pay this much for milk. So therefore, as things increase, he has to reduce what he does and care for the cows. So you pay more, he can pay more. And then it's just people going and then checking that he is taking care. So then that's doing something for the cow. But I guarantee you, no vegan is doing anything for the cows. No karmi vegan, no peta, no nothing. They're not doing anything for the cows. In fact, if cows disappeared, they think it's a good idea. Right? They'll make the point. They'll make the point that cows, they create the most. What are these global warming gases? They have a name for it. But,
Methane,
but what's the category called? But whatever it is, greenhouse gases. They produce the most greenhouse. So we get rid of them. And then we're saying that these are nice guys. They're the ones projecting vegan. We're following them. Are we thinking here? It starts from Buddhists and it ends up with these people that are happy to get rid of cows. So the whole point is we have to understand it's coming from Krishna, the person. Then there's the formless aspect. It's all dependent on that. But we're taking that we're doing good and nice and that. Then there's Krishna. If I do nice and everything, then there's Krishna. No, Krishna's already there. He decides what's nice and what's not nice. Therefore, in context of Krishna, the person, that's how we define what's nice and not nice. And that's why devotees aren't really well understood. And you can say, no, but we have to be well understood. They can't. Karmis can't understand. That's why you look for the innocent. If they're complaining and this and don't agree, that's not the person to be talking to. That's not the person to be impressing. You could say they're running the society, but yeah, as long as you don't bother them, they don't bother us. But why do you have to go out of your way to please people that are unpleasable, that are against Krishna's principles?
But it seems, Maharaj, that inside the devotee circle, we have the knowledge in the book, but there is difficulty to apply the knowledge.
Yes, but that's association.
Yes.
So if all we do is associate with self-help gurus, what are we going to get? If all we associate with is corporate management, what are we going to get? You know? Or social, political issues, you know? What are we going to get? Where's the association? You know, it's just like Prabhupada was saying in Bhagavad Gita, you know, because there's that thing, you know, about what did they do? You know, what do you think they did? They're Kshatriyas, they'll fight. So Prabhupada gave his example. You get two businessmen together, you don't need to ask what are they talking about. They're talking about profit. They're talking about business, how to make profit. So the same way, if you have devotees, then they're talking about how to be pure devotees. But if they're just talking corporate,
yes.
You know, okay, that's your service. Now, when you're not sitting in the boardroom and having discussions, now are you going to behave as a devotee? Now can we talk about pure devotional service? Or now, oh, everything I say is not politically correct, it's not this and that. Why? Because it's got to match your meeting. Then, what do you expect? Where's the association? Because association's not by being with somebody. That's the point. Manu makes the point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point, Srila Prabhupada makes the point, that when you have association is not being in the same room with the materialist, it's not being on the same bus or in the same office or even sitting in the same meeting with them. That they're there and you're there, it's your job, so you're there, you're putting your input. It's valuing their position, their values. Being intimate with them because they are important to you as people. That's what's association. So that if we come up with some ideas from this one and that one, that's fine. But when we value how they think and everything, and then apply that into our devotional life, into, you know, instead of didati prati grinati guhyamakiti pichati bunte bojayate, you can't eat anything because, you know, it's not, you know, whatever it is up to your standard, your political standard. You can't give in charity because, you know, no, the money's all controlled by the temple, you know, how you say, the ISKCON, you know, and management and all that. So no one could give in charity unless they say. And you can't be nice and respect someone else because, you know, we don't do that. You're respecting him might disturb this guy. And so, you know, everybody, we're trying to make everybody feel comfortable like that. By in other words, those who don't like authority, those who are miserly, that then we're supporting them. Anybody else who's not, we, you know, they can go jump. So then where is the thing? You know? And then Niyamagraha, then throwing out the Shastric things because we don't understand. At the same time as, or just doing it because the Shastra says here, that's it, not understanding. How is Prabhupada, what's the context in which he's saying it? So they don't, it's not seeing how does it connect to Krishna. So that's the whole point as we see Chaitanya Charitamrita. All these things, that's all that's going on. These nice interactions. So that's why, so by that, then we can associate, then we can advance.
So now you've seen that it is very important to have a quality association.
Quality, yes.
And to learn how to associate.
And learn how to associate. Yes. Because that's why Rupa Goswami says associate with like-minded persons,
yes,
who are more advanced.
Yes.
Like-minded means they're working in similar areas, they have similar values. Either they value pure devotion and so you associate,
yes,
with them, but they're more advanced. Or at least they're working in similar kind of areas and, you know, that you can relate to them.
Yes.
In other words, if you have to worry that every other word out of your mouth the other person is going to take objection to, that's the wrong person. That you don't associate with them. You might work with them, as it mentions, but you don't associate with them. It has to be you can sit down and relax and talk. Now and again, something you might say is over the top, and so then they'll point it out. But if everything you say is politically wrong, then what's the point? Then, you know, they should associate with other politically minded who know all the latest words. You know? Like that. But unfortunately, even the intellectuals in the West are beginning to very much dislike political correctness and anybody who's attached to it. Generally, the most loudest critics on political correctness are liberals. Because it's just getting in the way. You can't get anything done. Because it becomes so much about themselves, it comes down to anamoy. And it's not civilized because it's not something you're working with others. It's not, this is what I think. And so then you have your little tribe. So it's just like uncivilized, you know, tribespeople. You know, they may dress a little different. They don't have a bone in their nose or something. But nowadays they might, you know. They at least have a tattoo, you know. But something, it's just like that. So at least civilized, then you dress according to what's a thing, but it's completely for your own purpose. Then, pranamoy, at least then there's some general rules that all society functions on that holds it together. Like that, and all agreed. So if you don't agree, you're in a different group. So the only thing that's universal that can hold it all together is the Shastric definition of morality. That's what we were discussing yesterday, is mati. Is that when it's based on Shastra, that's the universal, because that deals with the creation, with the living entity, and with Krishna. So chit achit ishwara. That's complete. Anything else other than that is never complete. And anybody who thinks that that's not the universal principle is mistaken. They're just mistaken. Now, how someone goes about presenting it and all that then you have to find a nice way to present it. But the point is that if you don't start with that as a basis, that's not your faith, then one is weak in faith. One is uninformed. You know, poor fund of knowledge is probably. Like that. So it's very straightforward. So we do things that Krishna likes. You know, it probably says we don't identify we're vegetarians, we're Krishnatarians. So what Krishna eats, that's what we eat. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, you know, Krishna wouldn't eat this and this and that. But then the problem comes is then he follows us. So then that's what's it called? Anthropomorphism or something? You know, where man has decided God has a form because we have a form, so we're projecting it. Otherwise, it's not. So then that moves into things that the scientific world and the logical world doesn't accept. And then we're trying to say is, oh, we're moving forward. You know, we're moving backwards. But you may be facing Krishna, but you're moving backwards. You know, but if you do the moon step, it looks like you're going forward, but actually you're going backwards. You know, so, yes, have you thought about this question? Okay.
Maharaj, is it this education, lack of education, like the point you said about ghee, it increases lust, and first of all, it's good offering for Krishna if you make him
ghee doesn't increase lust.
Sorry, it means not using ghee, the oil increases lust, and ghee offering is preferred for Krishna, it pleases more Krishna.
Right.
If you educate devotees like that, one is it's good for Krishna, second is it increases their lust, and lust will produce more violence, more pollution and all. So it's better than vegan and all this concept to use ghee. So lack of this education is creating this disturbance in devotees going to vegans, because they present very logically, so maybe devotees are getting attracted to them logically.
It's like you can present all these things, modern things, so-called logically, but they're not logical. But why do we accept them? Because we're impure, imperfect senses, illusioned, cheating, and make mistakes. So because of this illusion and cheating, then that's what we oh, wow, that sounds good. But there's a mistake in their calculation, because where is Krishna in it? They'll mention Krishna, but it's Krishna only do what I say. You know, when I was a vegetarian, then Krishna was cool. Now that I'm a Vedic, a vegan, now Krishna doesn't like that anymore. You know, so since when does that, when is it like that? It's only the pure devotees and Krishna's following like that. Because they know what Krishna wants. So Radharani, being the Sarup Shakti, she knows what pleases Krishna because she's non-different from Krishna. She's the energy, he's the energetic. So then the energy takes care of the energetic. And then the devotees expand from there. From her come all the other devotees of Braj, the leading devotees. And then from them expand all the groups, you know, in the cowherd boys or the parents or the, you know, like this. And then all those, is that's documented. Because this is what Krishna likes, right? You know, it's just like you say someone's really into something, you know, he breathes, he eats, he sleeps, that whatever it is. So Krishna, he breathes, that's Shastra. So we can't doubt Shastra. But to understand, we follow it according to what the Acharyas give. Because it's breathing, Krishna is everything, therefore everything's in Shastra. So you have to know which ask, how to approach it, what mood that you get to Braj. Otherwise you might end up, you know, who knows what planetary system. Because it's all there in the breathing. So the point is how the breathing is sent. That's what, how it actually works. This planetary system works like this, not how you want it to work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is here is that it has to be seen in the context of the Lord. The form is the origin, not the formless. So when we take all these political issues, we're starting with the formless and saying that that defines the form. It's the opposite. It's material. It's not a spiritual approach. Especially when Prabhupada says something else. Then it's just downright wrong. We have to think about these things. The Lord's form and his formless aspect are both full of knowledge and beyond the touch of the material modes. These qualities are also present in the original forms of the individual spirit souls. In truth, there is no real difference between the Lord's form and his formless aspect. The difference is only an imagination of the Vedas. The two are like a jewel in its splendor. Right? They're non-different. So this is explaining a Chinta Beda Beda Tattva. Yes. So to say that there's Brahman, that's one thing, and then there's Bhagavan, no, they're the same. They're different features of one thing. In the Kapila Pancharatra, it is said, the Supreme has two aspects, his transcendental form and two his formless aspects. Thus it should be known that all-powerful Lord Narayana has a form and is formless also. But the formless is dependent on the form. Just like he says, the jewel and its splendor, the splendor is dependent on the jewel. Right? The splendor doesn't create jewel. You know, it's like we're walking along, oh, hey, I know that splendor. Like that way, hey, check, 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 wait. And then like, boof, there's this pile of gems there because the splendor was there and that came, you know, like that. No, it doesn't work like that. In the highest Shirsha Pancharatra, it is said, the Vedas say that the Supreme has no qualities, but they also say that he certainly does have qualities. By carefully considering all the statements of the Vedas, we have come to the conclusion that more weight should be given to the statements affirming the Lord's possession of transcendental qualities. Right? Because he has no quality, they mean no material. But it doesn't say he doesn't have spiritual qualities. And then in other places he says he has qualities, but those we can see are spiritual, they're not material. Because if it says he has no material qualities, then they say he has qualities. That must mean that they're not material, so they're spiritual. And so, since that's the eternal aspect, and the material world's temporary, we should give more weight to he has qualities, then he doesn't have qualities. Right? Here someone may protest. Like that.
Yes.
Luther has many things to say. If this is so, and the Supreme Lord is attained by devotional service, like he came up with 100 points, or 99 points. That was his protest. Right? So therefore, you know, how many can the Maya bodies come up with? Yeah. Unfortunately, Buddhists only have 9. You know. Here someone may protest, if this is so, and the Supreme Lord is attained by devotional service, then the Supreme Lord must be a resident of the material world. Why? For devotional services are rendered in the material world. Right? So, you know, this is their logic. So that's the whole point. So, you know. To refute this idea, the author now speaks the fifth sutra. Sutra 5. Yeah, now see, this is good. See, is that now the author now speaks the fifth sutra. Because before the author of the sutra speaks, no, this one's good. Sutra 5. He is the eternal supreme truth, beginningless and endless, for he exists beyond the limits of space and time. Because that's the thing, is here we're doing this, we're looking at this from space and time. But he's beyond space and time. So footnote 8. In the Anucheda 27, Srila Jiva Goswami, this is Bhagavat Sandarbha, from Paramatma.
Bhagavat,
okay. Srila Jiva Goswami cites the following in relation with this sutra. The Supreme Lord's eternal nature with his qualities have been established by showing his control over Vaikuntha, which has a similar nature. Though the Lord appears in the material world, he still remains perfect. After the two halves of Brahma's life, at the time of cosmic annihilation, when everything manifested is annihilated by the force of time and the elements merge in Prakriti, you alone remain with your unlimited devotees who are non-different from you. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.325. Right, it's already been shown in Bhagavat that he is there and Vaikuntha is non-different from him. And then he's the Lord of Vaikuntha. And so then he remains there. Because by establishing Vaikuntha, then you say there's a place beyond when everything's destroyed here, Vaikuntha remains. And not only that, he's the Lord of this Vaikuntha. It's coming from him, he's the Lord of it. So, and it's non-different. He's eternal, Vaikuntha's eternal. So then this whole principle of God having transcendental qualities then becomes established. Right? And so devotional service remains there. So if you perform devotional service here, then it is connected with the devotional service there. Right? So there, you're connected to there by devotional service. If you're not doing devotional service, you're here.
Yes.
You may get up to liberation, but it's still here.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say there's you have a big house, and in the living room there's all kinds of insanity going on. So then you move to the outside edge of the house, you know, some lonely place and all that. And it's better. You know, you can feel, I got liberation from all that insanity, but you're still in the house. You know, or you take it, okay, you go out in the yard, but you're still within the property of that. So then, real liberation is going to the spiritual realm, going to Vaikuntha. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. At the time of annihilation, the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, enter into the mind, intelligence and false ego, ahankara, and the entire cosmic manifestation enters into the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone remains as the origin of everything. The Lord is therefore known as Sesha Naga, as Adi Purusha, and by many other names. Okay, that was that. Okay, commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the Shruti Shastra, it is said, the Supreme is the eternal reality, full of knowledge and bliss. The Supreme is eternal. He never dies. The Supreme never dies. The Supreme Lord is present everywhere in the material world, but he is also beyond it. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is all-pervading. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, matter has no power to prevail over the Supreme Personality of Godhead, master of the spiritual worlds. In Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10, it is also said, in that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor is... I guess it's probably supposed to be there, nor is there any of their influence and goodness. There's no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? Right? Because it's based on time. right? Without that false identity, without the living entities and without time, then you don't have the material manifestation. Because this going into the material nature, then it expands the creation. So if you take away time, because time is what you perform an activity on. Mm-hmm. I perform an endeavor, it's based on time. Mm-hmm. Right? But it said, so therefore you remove time, there is no material world. Mm-hmm. But it said in the spiritual world that there's no predominance of the influence of time. There's a concept of time, but there's no predominance. Mm-hmm. That only by time you can do things. So what does speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and demons worship the Lord as devotees. Yeah, they're not discriminating against the Lord being in his transcendent position. In the Katha Upanishad, so it means with devotion. Right? 1.3.15, it is said, the Supreme is beyond material sound, touch, form, taste, or smell. He is eternal. He never dies. He has neither beginning nor end. He is beyond the material world. One who takes shelter of him escapes the mouth of death. Here someone may protest, right? Because the point was that before is that
devotional service we can attain long.
Yeah. It has to be in the material world, but they're pointing out is no, the spiritual world is eternal. Like that. And to enter, here someone protests that the Supreme Lord is beyond the material world, as you say, then why does he create the material universes in the first place? Right? It's always something, it has nothing to do with the previous one. No, he has to be here because it's here, but if he's beyond, why did he create here? Yes. So in other words, we have to find a fault. That's, you know, it gives meaning to our life.
Yes.
Right? To answer this, protest. The author of the sutra speaks the next sutra. Yeah, just the author speaks the next. You see, it doesn't work too much. Or you could say the author of the sutras next speaks or next present. But this is next. Good. The author speaks the next sutra. Sutra 6. Although he is transcendental, the playful Lord creates the material universes filled with conscious beings and inert matter. Footnote 9. In relation with this sutra, Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates in Anucheda 40 by citing the following verses from Bhagavatam. Brahma replies, O unrestricted Lord, O Lord endowed with all powers, O Supersoul, O Lord spread throughout all time, who knows where, how many, and when your pastimes will take place in the universe. Spreading yoga maya and play. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.21. Right? Spread throughout all time. So he's in the past, he's in the present, he's in the future. So that means devotional service can always be performed. One can always perform activities in consideration of Krishna because he's always present. Not all things have changed, we can't do that. No, you can always perform devotional service. Okay, that's Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.21. Just as from within himself the spider expands thread through his mouth, plays with it for some time, and eventually swallows it. Similarly, the Supreme Lord produces the universe and then withdraws it. 11.9.21. Is that the end of that footnote? Yes. Okay. Commentary by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In the Aitreya Upanishad 1.1.1 it is said, with a glance, the Supreme Personality of Godhead created the material worlds. Right? So that means with a glance, so it has to be outside. Otherwise, what's the meaning? Right? So we start off this way. Aitreya, and it's one of the main ones. How is it that the glance, the Supreme Personality, the material worlds are created while this is happening? Right? Does that make sense? If he's not a person, if it's just Brahman, how is this happening? Right, but it's based on Brahman. Because Brahman's based on him, and the material creation is based on Brahman. In the Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3, it is said, The Supreme Personality of Godhead thought, I am one, let me become many. I shall father many children. In the Taittiriya Upanishad 3.3.1 it is said, the Supreme Absolute Truth is that from which everything is born. In the Katha Upanishad 2.3.2.3, it is said, that Supreme Personality of Godhead is powerful like a thunderbolt. The entire world moves in fear of Him. They who know this become immortal. Out of fear of Him, fire burns. Out of fear of Him, the sun shines. Out of fear of Him, Indra, Vayu, and Yama act. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.25.42, the Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, it is because of my supremacy that the wind blows out of fear of me. The sun shines out of fear of me. And the lords of clouds, Indra, sends forth showers out of fear of me. Fire burns out of fear of me. And death goes about taking its toll out of fear of me. Right? Because otherwise they might want to just, you know, go on holiday. But, you know, they do their duties. In Srimad Bhagavatam, so it's always made that you're moving forward. You know, you're supposed to move forward. You can not take advantage. But let's say, why does somebody want to go to the heavenly planets? Right? Better facility, they can enjoy. But you see here, they have to work.
Yes.
And they're conscious of the Lord.
Yes.
So one still has to advance to be able to function. So then why do we have to go there to understand that? We could do that here. You know, and go back to, in other words, in 100 years you can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, you spend your 100 years to go to the heavenly planets for 10,000 years or however long you're there. Then you have to come back here and then spend another 100 years to go back to Godhead. So why not leave out the interim step? Right?
So Maharaj, can we say that the desire to take holiday or not to work is like connected to the desire for liberation?
You could say it has the liberation, we don't want to do the duties, but at the same time we don't mind the enjoyment part.
Yes, of course.
Like that. So we don't have to be austere, we don't have to work, we just enjoy.
Yes.
Right? You know, because the purpose of liberation is to be happy, right? Brahmananda. The point of karma is to be happy. So if we can be happy without having to do the work or having to be so austere and learn so many things, wouldn't that be the best?
Yes.
Right? So that's why Krishna then says in Gita, you have to balance it. Because otherwise then it won't be proper. If all you do is just sit back and enjoy yourself, then where is all this coming from? It doesn't make sense. Why would that facility be? We see that by work only you have facility to enjoy. Right? It's only by endeavor that you become freedom from anxiety. So then, where does this come from? So if it's come by result of work, then how much work was there? That's how long it will last.
Yes.
So if you like this, why not go for the eternal? That's then in the spiritual world. But there, it's not the not working, it's the interacting with Krishna. We like to not work because the work gives us trouble. The austerities give us trouble. The knowledge gives us trouble. But if the relationships and knowledge and everything doesn't give you trouble, it only gives happiness, then would one have a problem with it? No. Yes?
This whole thing, we understand that time has a material effect and all, and similarly the space also has. Is it that space relates to directly the consciousness?
Well, space is just what accommodates everything. It means existence. It's all existence. Because without space, how do you have existence?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Existence is there. So existence of expanding that, you have to have space. So Krishna exists. And to expand more existence is a Dharashakti expands. It means it's still Him expanding so that more space can be there.
But the difference I'm asking about the material space and what we consider like a transcendental world.
Oh, because it's all going to be the all-accommodating potency. But there it'll be, and it's, remember before the Bhagavad Sandarbha, the end of the Bhagavad Sandarbha is talking about the energies and how these energies, they have their original form and they have their transformed, you know, material form. So it's the same thing. So yoga maya, then she's the existence. So the jnana shakti is what's giving that, you know, the sandini, in this case, is what is the existence of everything. But it's based on him. He's sat. So therefore the energy of that aspect of him is what's, you know, expanding all these things. Then the chit means that knowledge and all that. You know, that means knowledge of the activities and the results they can gain and everything. Not this is not the Icha Kriya Jnana. It's here Kriya and Samvit or knowledge, then they're taken as one thing, because that means the applied knowledge. When we take Icha Kriya and Jnana, then we're taking the knowledge of the existence of things. Right? Because the point is, that's what we're saying. You can have knowledge, but then you have to apply that knowledge to get a result. So that's more important. So everything exists, and the knowledge that goes with it also exists. But then applying it, that's where taste is. That's why bhakti is samvit and vladini. Taking that knowledge, applying it to please Krishna, to fulfill his desire, that's bhakti. And sandini just naturally comes along. Then sandini reveals all these things. She reveals all the truth about Krishna. Mm. Yes?
So in that sense, when the ladini aspect is proper, that if it is for pleasure of Krishna, only then the samvit and sandini can be like, no, spiritualized.
Yes.
Otherwise, then we see always time and space as a material concept.
Yes, and then yes. So when ladini is there in its natural form,
yes,
then the samvit and sandini have their natural form in bhakti. But if it doesn't, then the ladini becomes goodness, and then samvit becomes passion, sandini ignorance. And then we work onto that. Right? Because your happiness is going from goodness. So therefore the passion and the ignorance means the environment you work with, the existence, then if it's done in such a way, you can get some happiness from it. But because it's the material world, it's temporary.
Yes.
Right? Because there's no pure happiness, because there's no pure goodness. But the spiritual world is pure goodness.
Yes.
And so therefore there's pure happiness.
Yes.
You don't need passion, ignorance, because then samvit and sandini, then they work, there's no passion. It's just to please Krishna.
So in that sense, this concept of time being as the masculine aspect, Shiva, makes more sense, that because it provides the basis for the three material modes to
but
be.
But he's
there.
Also the false ego.
Yeah, and also the false ego.
But then, yeah, and then she accommodates.
She accommodates in that, because then he's.
Because it's there. You have the living entities, you have the consciousness and everything like that. Then that's accommodated in the womb, right? So then the womb of material nature, then this is where it's accommodated. So then all these things manifest. Right? Because the living entity is there, then the mother nourishes, but the living entity comes from the father.
Just like the Maya we discussed here and in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, in future also it comes. It has the Guna Maya and then Jiva Maya. The Jiva Maya aspect and the time is the cause. Is the masculine aspect, and the gunamaya aspect, and the false ego will be the masculine aspect.
Yeah, but they're both there. You can't get rid of them, because Krishna is Shakti and Shaktiman and Shakti. So you can't get rid of this masculine and feminine principle. So trying to make it all one, it just won't work. Or not recognizing it won't work. You understand how it works, then you can utilize it. So it has to be known. You may like or not like, or maybe politically correct or not, but it doesn't matter. The truth is the truth. And so it functions in that way. Yeah, so the Jiva Maya means their illusion, their endeavor, they're taking part in that, and you know, as the Purusha, and then the Guna Maya means what's around you, what you try to enjoy. So now, you look at it, is that the Jiva Maya is controlling the Guna Maya.
Yes.
But at the same time as what activities is the jiva doing? According to what? According to the gunamaya around him. So the gunamaya actually is controlling. So that's why you say he's controlled by the modes of nature. He's not controlling the modes of nature. So that's the whole thing, is the masculine aspect is it may be in the controlling position, but it's controlled by the feminine. You know, when we're dealing with the personal. So that's the thing. So masculine thinks, I'm the master of the household, I'm the provider, I'm this and that, and I'm in charge and all that. But the point is now that guna maya, how that's going to be managed and what's going to be enjoyed at what time in that, that's the feminine nature. So that's the actual control. And so then when you give that up, you're giving up more control for less control. But that's the whole point. Those who are intelligent, that then it's just discussed and understood that the man's in control. That's the social thing. But actually everybody understands, in the back, that the woman's in control. So now she takes up that masculine position. She actually loses that control. And so then you have the two masculine, then what's to enjoy? What's to control? Nothing. So then they try to control each other. And so you end up with the same thing. So now who's in control?
Yes. Well, that's why in the sense, when it comes to how the jiva is controlled, we only talk about the Shakti. We don't talk about Lord Shiva much. That's why the Shiva Tattva is not once understood. But it's actually obvious when you speak about the Shakti, then how she's like the masculine aspect is Lord Shiva.
Yes.
But we need not discuss much because his role is only actually to connect you back to see in connection with the Supreme Lord, with Krishna.
Yes.
That's why it's nowhere in the scriptures discussed so...
Yeah, it's not so much because that's the whole point is that this is the form that Krishna takes to deal with his energy because means his energy transforms, they take care of it. He doesn't transform. And whatever he does, and to take care of her, he may have that transformation. But it goes that way, it doesn't come back. So it's an eternal principle that's there. And then the jiva can choose. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.